Let's take time for a Sitka History Minute. The eerie sounds of a gallows are stuff nightmares are made of. Yet Sitkins did hear the trapdoor from gallows shipped here from King County, Washington, for Sitka's first and only recorded hanging on March 6, 1903. With spring fast approaching, Sitkins were no doubt cheerful to welcome the new season, with the exception of Homer Byrd. He was scheduled to be hanged at 12:30 p.m. at the gallows that had been set up in the coal house on the wharf at the end of Lincoln Street, where Petromarine's warehouse now stands. The crime for which he was to pay with his life startled the entire nation and attracted great attention for the fact that it was first reported during the Klondike Gold Rush. Two juries of his peers had found Mr. Byrd guilty of first-degree murder. His case had been reviewed twice by the U.S. Supreme Court, and he had been sentenced to death twice. Yet, until the end, he maintained his innocence. Mr. Byrd's story begins in New Orleans, where he was born in 1858, the son of a building contractor. There, he was a married father of five and a respected businessman. Had it not been for the Klondike Gold Rush, Homer might well have remained a prosperous New Orleans businessman, his name unrecorded in Alaskan history. This is how it all started. Robert Patterson, a printer, got the Klondike fever and advertised for partners to form an expedition to the Yukon. Charles Scheffler, a young printer who worked under Patterson, wanted to join in but was not able to contribute money to the expedition. J. H. Herlin, a bookkeeper for a shoe firm, was also a potential partner for the group. However, they needed to find someone with adequate funds, so Patterson approached Homer Byrd. A partnership soon formed consisting of the four men and a woman who was said to be Byrd's mistress. Her name at the time was Naomi Strong, for she was said to be a woman of tainted character who assumed several identities. By September 1898, the crew reached Camp Dewey, about 600 miles up the Yukon River. It soon became clear they were not going to reach Dawson before winter set in. So the Byrd party decided to build a log cabin and stay until spring, which only spelled disaster for the crew. The would-be prospectors squabbled about the proper way to build a cabin, and not being able to come to an agreement, Herlin informed Byrd that he and the other two men had decided to leave the partnership, to set up their own camp, prospect, and cut wood for steamboats. To top that off, the three men proposed to take the boat, tools, and three-fifths of the remaining provisions. It is from this point on that different versions of the sad events followed. Homer testified that he was alerted of a possible threat to his life by Ms. Strong, so he confronted Patterson, knocking him down. Naomi yelled, "Watch out! Herlin is going to shoot!" But the front of the gun became caught in Herlin's sleeping bag, giving Byrd time to get his shotgun, kill Herlin, and wound Patterson. Scheffler and Strong gave a different story and testified at the trials that Byrd shot Herlin in the head, then touched off another round and wounded Patterson, who jumped over the stern of the scow and begged for his life on the shore. His begging stopped the carnage, and Byrd spared him. Soon, Homer and Strong buried the newly departed Herlin and told other men in the area that Herlin had gone off on his own. His begging for his life must have resonated with Homer and Naomi, for they cared for Patterson in the partially finished cabin, but his condition worsened. He was taken to Anvik by sled, where he died in April 1899. But before he died, he told the story of the shooting. Word was sent to St. Michael, and in June a deputy marshal arrested Byrd, even though he summarily escaped soon after. Homer was recaptured, though, and taken to the seat of Alaska's government at the time, Sitka. Byrd stood trial in Juneau and Skagway. Petitions were made to save the life of the ill-fated prospector in Washington, D.C. by Mrs. Byrd and their daughter. The two needed to secure the backing of senators on Homer's behalf in order to sway President Theodore Roosevelt, who had denied the application for commutation in Byrd's behalf. Sadly, the Evening Star reported that Mrs. Byrd spent nearly every penny she had to save the life of a man who had deserted her and her family. On the morning of March 6th, Byrd ate a hearty meal of eggs, rolls, steak, and coffee as he waited for the mail steamer to arrive at 12:30 p.m. with word from Washington. But word never came. At 1:20 p.m., Bird walked the 100 yards from the jail and ascended the stairs of the second-hand gallows set up in the coal house. A local minister named Father Trunell offered a prayer and told Bird to get on with it. So Homer began reading his final statement, asserting that he was convicted on the testimony of a vile woman and a bad man. After growing impatient with Homer's final litany, which had gone on for 20 minutes, the marshal stopped him. Bird handed his statement to Father Trunell and asked the witnesses to read it. Then the marshal strapped him securely, pulled a black hood over his head, sprung the trapdoor, and ended Homer's life, and thus closed the chapter on a sad story all the way around, as Mrs. Bird and her children cried bitterly and prayed that some unforeseen power might save Homer Bird's life.
This Sitka History Minute is brought to you by the Sitka Historical Society as we celebrate the events and people of Sitka, where all our men are hardy, our women are even hardier, and our children are worth bragging about.